Exciting occasion. Now, it's the APCM, and today, after the church, and usually at the APCM is when the vicar would do a bit of a review of the year, and in the sermon I might talk a bit about the church life generally. And the funny thing about the APCM this year is it always talks about the year that's just gone, and I don't really feel much like talking about 2019. This morning. So I'm going to have a bit more of a 2020 flavoured sermon, if that's okay with you. Coronavirus has been a part of our lives for months now. I don't know about you, but I'm almost finding it hard to remember and imagine life before it. You know, right now, as we're in church, we're in masks, we're sat away from each other. We have to think carefully about leaving the house. Have to think carefully about any kind of social interaction we do with people. We need to think carefully about going to the shops. Now, coronavirus is called coronavirus for a particular reason. I wonder, does anybody know why, what corona means? Benjamin, why is it called coronavirus? Crown, I just heard someone say, that's right. The coronavirus is called because when you look at it through a microscope, it looks like a crown. Now, a crown is a symbol of power and authority. And isn't it strange how a tiny, invisible virus that you need a microscope to look at has had such power and authority over us? It has forced literally millions, maybe billions of people around the world to change their habits. A pattern of life. Coronavirus has caused death, it's caused illness, it's caused insecurity, financial havoc, loneliness, disrupted education, jobs. Amount of people, you know, people who's all sorts of job insecurity at the moment that wasn't there before. And we do a good job, I think, most of the time in the West of pretending that medicine and healthy living can keep us safe from illness. And I think one thing that coronavirus has done, it's almost, I think, been a bit like a loudspeaker. It has reminded us of our vulnerability. Reminded us, perhaps even, of that ultimate statistic that the death rate among human beings is one in one. Each of us is destined to die. And so coronavirus, in some ways, has changed everything. But in some ways has changed nothing. This is just reality, isn't it? And pain, fear, and death are a part of life as we know it. I think coronavirus this season is almost closer to our natural state, or not natural, not maybe the right word, but most people through most of human history have lived with a far greater sense of fear of things that can hurt them than we tend to do in the West today. And so it's right, isn't it? We can say there is a crown, in that sense, the crown of coronavirus has authority over us. But I'm going to talk about three crowns today, because our hope comes in another crown, the crown of thorns that was forced on Jesus' head during his trial before his execution. That crown of thorns shows us just how deep the break between us and our Creator, and between us and the creation is. The reason I picked the reading from Hebrews I did today is it's one of those passages, there are many in the New Testament, that just shows in really startling language just how majestic and magnificent the Lord Jesus is. He's the heir of all things. He's the one who made the whole universe. Calls him the radiance of God's glory, the one who sustains all things by the power of his word. If you're a Christian, you believe that Jesus is sustaining the whole universe by his word. And yet this king above all kings, became human and for our sake bore the ultimate humiliation. He took all of our sin. He took all of God's anger at that sin. He took all things deathly that come from that sin. And he took those on his own shoulders so that you and I can can be in a restored relationship with God. Now, one writer, he says, he puts it like this. He says, in the Christian story, God comes down. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, into humanity. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world up with him. Think of a diver gone with a splash, vanished, rushing through the warm green water, deeper into the black and cold and dark water, down through increasing pressure into that death-like region at the bottom of a lake of ooze and slime and decay. And then up again, back to colour, back to light, his lungs almost bursting, until suddenly he breaks surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. He gave up the crown of heaven to wear a crown of thorns, that we might take the crown of life. That's the third crown, or the first crown, coronavirus, the second crown, the crown of thorns, the third crown, the crown of life. As Jesus rose from the dead and he went to another throne room with his sacrificial work finished, with the work of the cross done, he now sits at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And the wonderful thing about this third crown is it's one that you and I get to wear. It's the crown of life. Jesus' brother James would later write, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." We see the coronavirus, and we see its crown over our lives. We see the havoc it wreaks, and it's going to likely continue to wreak for many months to come. Turn to Christ, the one who wore the crown of thorns to take upon himself the sin of all the world and all of the deathly things that come from it. And by persevering and trusting Jesus in the midst of the hardest things in life, we read of the promise that we, by belonging to him, will receive the crown of life. Suggest briefly three things that might help us to think about what it means to trust Jesus as the King of the world in the midst of a lethal flu pandemic. And the first of those things, I think there's a real act of worship and an act of will and discipline involved here, is just not to let coronavirus dominate our minds. That's the temptation, isn't it? It's the temptation as we just live our entire lives through that filter all the time, unrelentingly. I don't know about you, but I find that exhausting. And so we can say, yes, COVID, you have changed our lives, but you do not get to define them. COVID cannot ultimately hurt someone who belongs to Jesus. And so perhaps it's good for us to think on Christ, to think about good things, think about who we are in God. You know, so perhaps try and make a discipline for every time you worry about coronavirus or worry about things, say, I'm gonna pray and talk to God. I'm going to think about something better. Secondly, we are called as Christians to love our communities. In the days of plagues in the old Roman Empire, plagues used to come around regularly and devastate the population. And they even noticed that cities where there were churches, cities where there were Christians, people tended to get on better, because the Christians were living in giving and sacrificial ways to others. When he was talking about Christians and the plague a few centuries ago, Martin Luther says, "Plague does not dissolve our duties. It turns them into crosses on which we must be prepared to die." Now, I don't think that for us means engaging in risky behaviour. Because actually the least loving thing we can do to people at the moment is to invade their personal space, to help them and love them, and actually increase their risk of getting really ill. But I think there's something about how we choose to lay our lives down for each other and for our neighbours for the sake of Jesus as best as we safely can. That's just a question there for us about persevering in loving one another. We don't let coronavirus dominate our minds. We realise that our call to love each other and love our communities is greater and not lesser in this season. And then thirdly, we turn to Christ daily with our fears and our worries. Trust him by talking to him, by sharing our troubles, by writing a list of all the things we're afraid of and giving it to God. And we actually bring him glory when we do that, because we are saying in the midst of a pandemic, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and can give us peace. I don't know what the rest of 2020 is going to hold. I don't really know what 2021 is going to look like. There are so many questions, aren't there, about what things will be like. But the thing that won't change in any of that is that Jesus Christ is King. And I do this from time to time. But again, I just encourage you to just turn back as you're sat and just having a look at this wonderful stained glass window behind us. Again, I often say in church, I get a better view than you do, generally, of things. And again, it's a picture. I think when God is in his glory in heaven, I think there's going to be more skin colours around than we get in that one. I think there's going to be all sorts of more diversity there. But I just love that image of Jesus at the centre of all creation, the King above all kings. It's a beautiful picture, and it's one which, again, when you get a chance to have a look at, do so in greater detail another time. But we can remember that whatever happens in 2020 and 2021, who knows how long this wretched virus will be with us for, we can know and trust that Jesus Christ wore the crown of thorns so that we could have the crown of life. Let's pray.